I'd like to begin by asking a very basic question that philosophically minded people like to ask, and that is, why are you here? And when I say here, what I mean is on planet Earth. You know, my here is Dallas, Texas. And as I engage with people on a day in and day out level, let's hope that I have a well-conceived idea of what I'm trying to accomplish, and it's driven by a sense of purpose. You have your here. And by the way, when you leave comments, I like knowing where your here is, so let me know. And I'm hoping that you also can think, yeah, I want my life to be driven by a sense of purpose and meaning. And so when we try to figure out the answer to that age-old question, I'm hoping at the very top of your list, you'll say, well, the reason that I'm here is for the sake of knowing and experiencing love. You know, life is about having right relationships. Now, when somebody is at the end of their life, and let's say there's someone speaking their funeral, yes, we're going to talk about their accomplishments and achievements and some of their unique experiences, and that's all well and good. But really, as we're trying to summarize a successful life, we want to be able to say how well they loved and how well they invested in other individuals. And so if there was one word that I had to use to describe the essence of a loving person, I would use the word goodness. Now, goodness is a very rich word, and it has many implications. For example, a good person is kind, or they're patient, they're reliable, they're affirming, they're encouraging, they're available. Are you known as being a good person? That being the case, you probably know the essence of love. Now, when we talk about the narcissist and their approach towards love, we're talking about an entirely different kind of situation. If I had to use one word to describe the narcissist's approach to love, it would be the word conformity. Let's keep in mind that the narcissist's way of life is anchored in the need to be in control. They tend to be very manipulative and exploitive. They have a need to be superior. They have an attitude of entitlement. They don't receive input from other people very well. It's all about themselves. And so if a narcissist says, I love you, what they mean is, okay, you've conformed to my standards and my preferences. Let's keep moving. And so their understanding of love is not going to be anywhere close to yours or mine might be. And so today I've given seven different comparisons and contrasts from healthy love to the narcissistic style of love. And as we go through this, I'm wanting you to question, first of all, yourself. Do you know and understand the essence of love? And then can you learn how to see into the narcissist use of pseudo-love so that you don't get stuck in some of their spider's webs and patterns that they may want to try to pull you into? For example, when we talk about having a healthy form of love, we're talking about, number one, connecting at the heart level. You see, a loving person wants to know who you are and what you feel and what's going on inside of you. They like knowing the things that are unique to you. There's a sense that says, I know that you have needs. I know that you have aspirations. Tell me about that. Tell me who you are. And when you share your thoughts and feelings, rather than just running over them, it's like, I need to know this about you so that I can be more accurate in the way that I engage with you. Now, the narcissistic contrast is narcissists see love as being functional. You know, if you do the things that I want you to do, and if you meet my needs and adore me and tell me how good I am, and if you help me get all the stuff accomplished that I want to have accomplished, and usually it's some sort of achievement or some sort of status thing, then as long as you're functional, I love you. A little bit different. Or a second comparison and contrast. Healthy love is anchored in the concept of freedom. A loving person, as they engage with you, they're thinking, I want you to feel free to be what you are. I want you to learn how to discover yourself in its fullness. And rather than having to conform to what I say you need to be, I want you to think about the various things that make you unique. And if you have a different opinion or thought or perspective, I like hearing it. Let's develop it in the fullest kind of way. Whereas the narcissistic contrast with love says, no, love is anchored in duty. As long as I can get you to coordinate with me and meet my conditions and help me achieve things and comply with what I say is right and wrong, again, we're going to have love. They don't like for you to think for yourself. They want to do the thinking for you, and actually that becomes a very smothering approach towards relationship, and it's really not love at all. A third characteristic in a healthy form of love: when conflicts arise, loving people manage conflicts with cleanness. You know, I'm under no illusion that as we engage with one another, particularly for a long period of time, whether it's in a loving man and wife or husband and wife kind of relationship or family or even at work or friendships, I'm under no illusion that we're going to agree on everything. There are going to be times when we disagree, when we have conflicts. That's just part of humanity. The healthy, loving person says, let's use our conflict in a way that says we can learn from one another. So even as they're talking about disagreements or hurts or frustrations, they're going to do so in a way that allows the other person to walk away with their dignity intact. There's actually going to be listening, and you want to learn from that other person. And so you speak in conflict with a tone of voice that has honor and respect. Now, in the narcissistic contrast to that, when conflicts arise, it's like, okay, I have got to get you back into the fold. I've got to get you back into my orbit. And so there's a lot of that coercion. There's a lot of shame and blame. Now, it seems kind of strange to think that's part of their love relationship. It's like, love means you have to get back into my good graces. And I've got to force you, if I have to be what I tell you to be. So that's where their stubbornness and that's where their pushiness can come through, because they've got to get you back where you're showing adoration toward them. Fourth characteristics of healthy love is anchored in affirmation and encouragement. You're an uplifting person. As you engage with the individuals in front of you, you're thinking, what is it about you that I can speak into that's right and that's pleasant, that's just part of you? And so you give compliments easily, and you look for the things that are good. Whereas in the narcissistic element of love, rather than them being affirming or uplifting, they're evaluative. The narcissist, if they're trying to be in a love relationship with you, they've got a scorecard over here. Were you excellent? Were you mediocre? Were you poor? Did you make an A? Did you make an F? And as long as you make the grade, then again, I love you. And as long as you avoid making mistakes or avoid making me feel crummy, okay, we'll talk love. But you're on a grading system with those individuals. A fifth characteristic of healthy love is bound by realism. We don't come to each other with some sort of illusion that that life is going to be this peachy keen, you know, storybook kind of a wonderful situation. You know, we all have flaws. And in fact, frankly, I like knowing what other people's flaws are, because when they engage with me, they're going to find out what my flaws are. And so we're able to make an agreement that says, why don't I accept you in the midst of your humanity, your pluses and your minuses, just as I hope that you would accept me. And strangely, we can have an increased sense of intimacy when we know each other's garbage. It's kind of funny how that works, because as we know the mistakes and blunders and miscalculations that are there, then it's like, okay, I'm going to be able to reveal my true self to you, and we're not going to be living with false pretenses. There's a sense of authenticity that comes with that. In the narcissistic contrast to that, narcissists are driven by idealism. They want life to be perfect according to their standards. And so in a beginning of a relationship with a narcissist, and again, whether it's in a romantic relationship or family or work or friendship, they may actually begin by illustrating that they idealize you and they think you're wonderful and super and terrific. They'll pay all sorts of compliments. But when your humanity shows up, they don't do it in the way that says, okay, good, this means that we can learn how to be affirming to each other in a much fuller way. It's like, oh, you so disappoint me. And so the more your humanity shows up, then they go into a disillusioned attitude towards you, and eventually there's a real strong sense of rejection because you have failed to make me feel like I'm the ideal person that I think I'm supposed to be. A sixth characteristic of healthy love is that it's enduring. You know, in a really good, solid, loving relationship, there's an attitude that says, when you get me, you get a lot of consistency. I'm here for the long haul. This is not something that I'm just going to take as it just kind of feels good, and then we'll just kind of throw it off into the ditch when it doesn't. There's a sense that says through thick or through thin, through good experiences, through not good experiences, I'm committed to you. There's a sense that says, I want you to know that I will be here by your side, regardless of what the circumstance might be. Whereas in the narcissistic approach towards love, it's temporal. As long as you make me feel good, as long as you adore me, as long as you pump me up, then we're okay. But if you fail to do that, time's up, I quit, I'm not doing it anymore, you're out, on to the next conquest. And then we can say that a seventh element of healthy love is that it's based out of abundance. Hopefully you have a good sense of who you are. You have an understanding of your own dignity. There's a self-respect that you live with. You understand that you have worth in your life. And so knowing that, it allows you to then fill the other person with those same kind of ingredients. You treat them in that same worthy way. Whereas the narcissistic approach towards love is anchored not in abundance, but in neediness. And in narcissistic parlance, we call that in the narcissistic supply. I need you to fill me up. They're empty people. They're people who are hungry to be told that they're wonderful, but that supply is never enough. And so they don't want to admit it, but there's a real strong codependent drive that's a part of their approach towards love. Now, let's summarize by saying this. True, healthy love changes people for the better. It brings out the things that are good. And when the narcissist says, I want to engage with you in love, but instead of being changed for the better, it just brings out all the more their controlling nature or their harshness or their conditions, then it illustrates that that's not, they don't understand the nature of love. And then it takes you to the one thought, and that is those individuals can't give away what they don't know. And so they don't really know the essence of love. And so the challenge that you're gonna have is to live out your good definition of love in your here-ness, in your time allotted on this earth. I'm hoping that there can be a real strong commitment that says, when people are in my presence, they're gonna be with somebody that knows how to be uplifting. And then when you engage too consistently with somebody that's very opposite of that, I think you're gonna recognize that you're gonna need to limit your time, aren't you? Now, I hope that you enjoyed the contents of these videos, and I would invite you to subscribe, and we'd love to have you more as a part of our subscribing network, Surviving Narcissism Network. Hard for me to talk. By the way, I have a friend here that wants to say hello to you. That's my little buddy, Gus. Gus has been in a bunch of videos with me. You just haven't known it. So I just wanted to introduce you to him. Thanks for being with us.